A very warm welcome to all of you to the EY India Insights podcast. I'm your host, Jayashree Parthasarathy. And in this episode of the IDT Insights series, we will discuss the Bureau of Indian Standards Certification, or the BIS certification as we all know it. What we're going to discuss is what the certification is all about, when does it apply, and how does one get the certification. Joining me as an expert in today's podcast is my colleague partner Agneshwar Sen. Agneshwar is a seasoned expert in foreign trade, customs, and regulatory matters, and his experience includes being associated with the government as an additional director of trade remedies, and we now have the good fortune of having him with us at EY. I do look forward to an engaging discussion on BIS with you today.
Thank you, Jayashree. Happy to be here.
Great. So let's kick off with the first question, Agneshwar.
Waiting for it.
All right. So Agneshwar, can you tell us a little bit about, why BIS has gained so much of popularity and significance in the recent past? We keep hearing about it in the context of various products. Its reach seems to be substantially increasing as well. Your thoughts on, why this is happening and what is it that our audience needs to know about the BIS certification and standards?
Sure. BIS, as all of us know, is India's national standard setting body. Every country, as we develop, we have quality standards, performance standards, things which ensure that what your economy is manufacturing, what your economy is selling, what your consumers are consuming, they meet a particular quality standard. And that's what BIS does. BIS, so far, if you remember, we used to have this Indian ISI marking, Indian Standards Institute marking, which used to tell us, that this product is of a particular quality. Well, BIS is the body which sets, devises those standards. Now, coming to your next question about, why it has become important all of a sudden, or at least last 2 years, it has, about 2 years, it has been growing in importance, is that a lot of these standards in India, which were earlier voluntary, that is, you as a manufacturer could go to BIS and pick the standard to apply. Now it has become a mandatory. It is no longer voluntary, which is that the government is now mandating that these products, which are covered under various quality control orders, should be mandatorily taken by anybody selling those products, that is manufacturers or importers in India. And what is making BIS and bringing BIS into the news every day, if I can put it that way.
Right, I understand. But tell me one thing, how is this different from what we've been hearing as, ISO, the International Organization of Standards, or even what European Union uses as CE certification, right? Because most of these, I understand, also cover similar profile of products as BIS does in India. So does one still need a BIS certification even if the product is ISO or CE certified?
That's a great question, Jayashree. Actually, every country in the world, China, US, the entire European Union, all of them have their own standards. They base their standards based on their understanding of, what their people need. ISO, for example, is an international standards organization based out of Geneva, which comes out with standards across the board. We have all heard about ISO certification, which various organizations go ahead and get it. And that, again, covers a wide swathe of products and services. But ISO standards specifically are voluntary. So even if you're an Indian organization today, you would like an ISO certification for various reasons, including, telling the world that you are a quality producer of goods or services, you would go ahead voluntarily and get it. And once you get the certification, you can mark, with your name, ISO certified. The BIS standards, typically, they apply only in India. So any products which are being sold in India, which are, which are facing the consumers of any kind, that is, retail consumers to manufacturing to industrial consumers, all those products that they buy, they would have the BIS standard typically. And the government of India right now has declared, we have heard the minister say so, that literally all the products which are manufactured, which are sold in India, they would all have BIS standards. it's not very dissimilar to what you just mentioned regarding European Union, where you see, you know, any product which is sold in European Union will have that CE marking, you know, which is the certification European marking, you know. So any and all products, including, say, India is exporting, any Indian manufacturer is exporting a product to Europe, which has that, you know, which has the mandatory standard in Europe, you will also have to get that certification for selling it into European markets.
Got it. So BIS for India, as CE is for Europe, is what you're saying. But tell me one thing, you know, I've always thought whether it's ISO, ISI or BIS for that matter, it's more a consumer protection measure to ensure that products are of a particular standard and fit for market or consumption in that particular market. Now, strangely, this seems to be more of a topic these days from a customs and regulatory standpoint. How did this happen, Agneshwar? What is the interlinkage or interface between BIS, customs and regulations?
That's again a great question, you know, because customs typically are not into the standard setting, you know, game. What happens is typically, you know, once you set up a standard mandatorily to be applying in your market, any product which is brought into the country or manufactured in the country typically has to be, you know, the IS, has to have the IS marking. Now, that being the case, anything which is manufactured abroad, you know, which is being imported, those products also need the, you know, IS marking. Of course, BIS has a certification system by which, you know, they certify foreign manufacturers and foreign domains. You know, say, for example, you're importing something from China, so the Chinese factory itself has to apply for a BIS certification, and they get the marking, and they can only export once, you know, the standard we are talking about, you know, becomes mandatory in India. They'll have to ensure that whatever they're exporting in India has that marking. And this enforcement takes place at the customs end. You see, so the customs, they are under law, you know, required to ensure that anything that is cleared by them for sale into India has the IS marking. You know, so that's why they come in. And to the extent that if that Indian standard is not marked on those products, you know, which has been, which is mandatorily applicable, those products are not allowed to be entered into the country. You know, they're simply sent back. You know, it's not that you can in some way adjudicate the matter and get it in. That's why the customs have a very important role in this. And as you know, we are a fairly large importing country as well. So a whole lot of these products which are getting covered by a quality control order or getting covered by a mandatory BIS standard, all of those products, if they are imported into the country, you know, they will be checked by the customs and returned, you know, if they do not have the marking.
So customs more like a gatekeeper and an implementation agency, so as to speak, for true. BIS is what you're saying, right?
Yes.
So towards the end of your last response, you mentioned something about a quality control order. Can you tell us a little bit about how is this quality control order or QCO issued? How many such QCOs have been issued in India till date, and any insights that you might have on what more can we expect in the upcoming months and years on the QCO front?
Great. This, you know, QCO is the buzzword today. You know, the moment you hear a new QCO, you know, a lot of industries get interested, you know, because it starts impacting their ability to manufacture and sell. Well, QCO stands for quality control order, as you know. You know, central government in the sense that it could be a central government ministry. You know, there's DPIIT, there's the Ministry of Steel, there are Ministry of Textiles, Ministry of Mining, you know, so whatever product you're looking at, these ministries, they look at it and decide, you know, what is going to be the standard. And they are the ones who issue the QCO saying from a particular date, that particular IS standard is going to become mandatory in India. So that is typically what a QCO is. It's simply a diktat from the concerned administrative ministry of the government of India informing that a particular BIS standard is going to be implemented mandatorily in India. The QCO therefore typically would cover the products, you know, they would define the products that get covered and the standard and the date from which that gets implemented. And following the QCO official gazette of the government of India, thereafter, you know, people have to apply, and thereafter, from the date that they give, you know, you have to ensure that your product has the ISO standard, so that otherwise it will not be allowed to be sold in the country.
Sure.
So you had a second part to your question.
Yes, I had a second part of the question, and that was really about how many QCOs have been issued by India so far, and how many more do we expect in the coming months or years, if you have any insights in that?
Well, we did try to, you know, run through the number of QCOs. There are lots of them. The last 2 years, I think we are more than 600-700 QCOs, but the number of QCOs themselves are not important, because each QCO would cover more than one product. Typically, you know, say suppose you're talking about a product, you know, which has various grades. So a single QCO could cover a variety of products under it, and also identify, you know, which IA standard would apply to it. So I don't think I have a specific number to quote, but yeah, this is quite large, and it is likely to grow fairly rapidly, given the government's statement that they would like any and all products which are being sold in India, you know, to be covered by the QCO. For example, I was looking at, you know, what is going to be covered soon, and they include things like nickel powder, there would be electronic products, there are, you know, aluminium product, aluminium ingots, you know, which are going to get covered. So a variety of these products are likely to be covered in the next few months. And just as a, you know, added information, the government is required, before, you know, we implement a QCO in India, to inform the WTO, you know, and for transparency purposes, so that any manufacturer in the world who is interested in exporting to India gets an advance notice and information about this. So, you know, we typically look at the WTO website and figure out, you know, which are the QCOs which are coming into, which are likely to come into effect in the near future.
Right, understand. But tell me something, what happens if a particular business is, unable to comply with the BIS or the QCO requirements? Is there a monetary or some other type of consequence associated with non-compliance?
Actually, there are very stringent consequences of non-compliance in terms of, you know, once a QCO has come into effect, you know, and it is in force in the country, you're found to be possessing and selling those products, you know, there is a 2-year jail sentence which is possible. There's a monetary fine. The minimum is, I think, 2 lakh rupees. Maximum could go up to 10 times the value of the goods which have been found, you know, without IAS marking in your possession, which has either been sold or it's in stock with you. So yes, the consequences are fairly grim and stringent.
All right. And now, I guess a question which a lot of us would like your perspective on. I think the general understanding and perception is that getting a BIS certification done is a fairly long drawn and onerous process. What's your take on this in terms of what this entails? What should businesses budget for, you know, in terms of timelines, complexities, etc.? And any do's and don'ts when businesses need to consider obtaining a BIS certification from your standpoint?
Actually, to this, my answer is, you know, there are two things. One is, you know, the Indian standard, if it has been implemented for the product that you're manufacturing, it's already there and it is not mandatory. You know, nothing really stops you from voluntarily, you know, going ahead with that marking. So what happens is, later, if a QCO comes in and makes it a mandatory standard, you know, by then you're already certified and cleared for sale in India. You know, this is a good precautionary measure to take. So run through, you know, the Indian standards. You know, these are available on the BIS website, and also, you know, there are people who can help you out with that. You can identify what is the standard, and if you find there's a standard already which has been devised for your product specifically, then go ahead and obtain that. Otherwise, once the QCO comes into, you know, once the QCO is issued and it is gazetted, you know, you typically get about 6 months. You know, that time is actually flexible. Sometimes, you know, once the QCO deadline is over, we have represented to the government and got it extended. So there's not I wouldn't say there's a fixed time, but normally within 6 months, you know, it'll come into effect. And within that 6 months, you have to go ahead and apply to the BIS and get their certification done. Now, the certification process is, I wouldn't say simple, in the sense that, you know, fairly thorough testing is done of your product, you know, of your testing facilities, of your quality control measures, of the raw materials that you're using, your production methods, and so on and so forth. You know, a scientist from the BIS or a BIS accredited lab, they go to your factory premises and check it out. And only after that certification is over, you know, this whole process is over, that the license or the certificate is granted. Now, this, of course, you know, while it normal time could be a month to 2 months, you know, within which it could be over, but there could be various other, you know, imponderable hindrances to this. For example, you know, sometimes the product testing takes time. Sometimes, you know, when they come and see your testing facilities, your lab facilities within your factory premises, you know, they are inadequate, you don't have the right equipment, you know, so a whole lot of those things to and fro happen. But roughly, I would say for a domestic manufacturer, post QC or post your application, you know, about 2 months should be a month, and month to 2 months is the time it takes to get the certification. But of course, you know, for a foreign manufacturer, this period could go up to 6 months to 8 months, because, you know, then again, the scientist has to go abroad. There are the language issues regarding the certifications that you already have. You know, so there are various, of course, you know, the complications are a lot more. So then you're looking at a 6 to 8 months kind of a period within which you can get a certificate. And again, as I mentioned earlier, you know, since it is important that you have to have that QCO, the IAS marking with you, you have to have that license with you. The sooner or faster you move, the better. You know, so not only in case you have an Indian standard, should you go ahead and get the certification? And if you're an importer, then you should tell your, you know, your foreign manufacturer, you know, wherever you're importing from, that they also should apply for the Indian certification, you know, the BIS certification.
Got it. So it's a fairly long drawn process. You're saying if the manufacturer is outside India, it could take 6 months or so to get this. So once we get the certification or license, Agneshwar, given the timeline already involved, what is the, you know, duration of its validity? Is it valid forever, perpetually, or is it a time-bound certification and license that the government issues?
The initial certification is for 2 years. That is the first time. And then, of course, you got to keep applying for renewal. So, you know, you could get it renewed 1 year at a time for a maximum of 5 years. So there is a timeline there, yes.
Sorry,
so this follows the logic, you know, the products themselves evolve, you know, your standards evolve. Of course, you know, in the meantime, if an Indian standard, which had already been implemented mandatorily in India, you know, gets upgraded or changed, or the products change, you know, so one has to take into consideration those changes. If the change takes place, you know, then you have to immediately apply for recertification.
Sure. So what I'm hearing is this needs to be planned from a timeline standpoint,
yes,
and monitored from a renewal standpoint, is what you're saying. All right. So it looks like, you know, businesses perhaps have their work cut out for them in terms of constantly monitoring if their product is a part of the Indian standards, look at a voluntary certification, or at least pursuant to a QCO, which then makes it mandatory. Budget for timeline, like you said. Any last perspectives or words from a, you know, precautions, considerations, do's and don'ts standpoint from a QCO BIS regulation from your end?
Let's put it this way, you know, the quality standards are here to stay. You know, any developing country, as it moves up the, you know, value chain of development, you know, quality standards will be across the board for everything that their consumers would be consuming in that country. Having said that, you know, it becomes important for us to be mindful of this reality and, you know, take advance action, you know, if I can say so, you know, to ensure that your products meet the quality standards and they're recognized as such. You know, so even in cases like what, you know, we have seen some people do who are manufacturing in India, you know, and the quality manufacturers, they go ahead and seek, you know, a standard to be set up for the product that they're making, even if the standard is not there. Of course, it takes, you know, a lot of effort in terms of putting it all together as to, you know, what is the standard that should be, if there's already an international standard, you know, whether that can be adopted or, you know, that needs to be modified in some way. But nonetheless, you know, to be in this universe of standards is very important for your, you know, for your own reputation as a quality manufacturer of that product. So that, having said that, you know, I think the quality consciousness should be a part of your of your management ethos, line of business you are, in case you're into some sort of a process management, you have quality certification even for those kind of activities. So you have to be very conscious about, this universe. And this is, again, I don't think I touched it before, this is also permitted by the WTO, So a lot of questions are being asked whether all of this is some sort of a non-tariff barrier. Well, this is not a non-tariff barrier. I would like to finish with that. But this is a non-tariff measure, and a very important non-tariff measure, which is recognized by the WTO as being very important, to ensure both, consumer health, consumer safety, consumer benefit, as well as, to go ahead moving on a higher value chain, in terms of the quality of the products that you're manufacturing in your country and exporting. So that being said, you have to build, this quality consciousness into all aspects of your manufacturing process, and keep seeking, the kind of recognition, that the certification system offers.
Great.
I hope that is.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Agneshwar, for your extremely insightful perspectives. Thank you for joining us in this session and providing us with your valuable insights. Thank you to all our listeners. Do stay tuned for more captivating discussions on the EY India Insights. Don't forget to subscribe for the latest updates. And until next time, this is Jayashree Parthasarathy, your host, signing off. Thanks again, everyone.